Earth is closed today. We will be talking in detail about Black Widow and the Marvel Cinematic Universe in general. Come back and have a listen when you're all caught up.
You're a total poser. Video time.
Hello, comrades. Welcome back to the ever-popular Red Room. Video Dames Podcast. We missed you guys so much. I know you're all expecting an episode on E3, but we were actually taken by this weird group called the TVA, and we missed the whole thing. But we'll get back to that later. Today is also a very special day. We're doing our very first ever live stream recording of the podcast. Ladies, say hello.
Hi.
Well.
If you want to be in the know or you want to watch us live next time we get together, follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Hello Video Dames. We stream the podcast on twitch.tv/itsyourgirlalyssa. On today's episode, we're breaking down and chatting about the newest installment in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the long-awaited Black Widow. This movie's been on our radar for at least 2 years, since it was announced in San Diego Comic-Con, I believe it was, in 2019. This movie shows Black Widow in the unseen time between the end of Civil War and the beginning of Infinity War. We finally get to see her tell her own story, and it's all with a new cast of characters. And some of my freaking favorites, I might add. Ladies, what did you guys think about this movie? Was it everything that you wished and more?
I will be perfectly honest. This is probably a very unpopular opinion. I went in not liking Black Widow. So I went in with more or less zero expectations, and I got way more than I bargained for, because I think it is now one of my top Marvel movies by far. So it definitely went from least favorite Avenger to she's high up there. She's pretty good. So I'm gonna have to say that I was extremely impressed just when I thought Marvel and Disney couldn't, you know, throw me off my Marvel game. They bring me this.
Honestly, I was in the same boat. I didn't dislike the Black Widow character. I just didn't really know much about it. Being a movie buff, but not really a comic book nerd too much. I have to rely a little bit more on the TV shows and movies and things that were provided to get to know the characters in this universe. And she just really didn't get anything up until this point. So I agree, definitely didn't really go into it crazy excited. I haven't gone into any of the things that we've watched crazy excited, like WandaVision or Falcon Winter Soldier. Loki obviously is its own thing. But yeah, I didn't go in crazy excited or anything, and I loved it. I thought it was so good.
Me too. I also didn't have like any expectations when going into the movie, like especially because A, we all know that I don't love the more grounded movies in general. So things like The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Captain America, I wasn't ever really like a huge fan of, because my draw to Marvel and like just like superheroes in general is the fantastical. So like I want to see like Doctor Strange doing his freaky magic, and I want to see like Scarlet Witch doing her freaky magic. I want to see Guardians in space and Thor just freaking throwing that hammer. The hammer pulls you off. You have a special relationship with that hammer. So for me, like, I was like, you know what? It's going to be a Marvel movie. I should have Marvel level expectations, but I'm not going to be disappointed because I don't really have that much investment in it. And I went into it like that, and I enjoyed it thoroughly. Just how I went into it with like Black Panther. I knew nothing about Black Panther when I first saw it. I was like, I know this is an important movie for a lot of people, so I'm going to like watch it fresh eyes. And that's how I kind of came off with Black Widow. I loved the new characters that were introduced. I'm really hopeful that we see either TV series or
Yelena take on the mantle of Black Widow or maybe Red Widow. I have no idea, but definitely very exciting for sure. I have a question for you ladies. Do you think that this film would have been different if it were released in phase 2 or 3? Because like times have changed so much since the first Avengers movie to now. So what did you think about the timing?
Do you want me to go first, or Joe, would you like to field this one first?
I can go, because I know Alyssa and I have had quite a few discussions around this topic. I definitely think that so much has changed in the last 2 years alone, much less obviously since phase 2 or phase 1, when everyone was kind of first introduced. I think that it would not have been the story that she deserves if it had been earlier. But I also think it sucks that they did it so late, because like, she's dead. And also, like, I think so much of the reason that we liked this story, I mean, at least for me, was like the other stuff. So like the other characters introduced, Yelena's jokes, the overall theme of the story. But I don't know if Nat shined the way that she would have if this would have been made several years ago. So that's like my initial take on it.
See, I don't know. I feel like if this was released sooner, I feel like Nat would be pushed back, because I mean, you can see on TikTok, you can see on social media, like Yelena is the new Marvel favorite. Everyone loves her. Nobody can stop talking about her.
Totally.
So my biggest fear is that if they did it sooner, Nat's death wouldn't have that same type of impact and that same type of closure that it did. So I don't know about you guys, but the entire time I'm thinking during this movie, my thought process is like, wow, she's dead. They never probably got to actually say goodbye to each other properly. And that kind of stuck with me throughout the entire movie. So I feel like if they did it sooner, you wouldn't have that same type of emotional effect that I'm assuming Disney and Marvel was going for. You're not wrong. It would have been nice to have them do it sooner so that more people had a genuine connection with the Black Widow. But with that being said, I think the way that the directors made the movie and the way that they intended it to be with the emotional effect and all, I think it wouldn't have fit anywhere else but towards the end.
No, if I agree with that.
Ooh.
I feel like, oh no, go ahead.
No, you please. Go
no, right I, just like it, like a baby, just counter argument. I feel like they only made it, like they made the movie based on the fact that they knew everything that had happened up to this point. If they had been given the same assignment years prior, they would have made a totally different movie, but it maybe would have had just as much impact or a different kind of impact in the universe that we were in at the time. Like, I think that, like, I do and don't love watching movies when I know that the person's gonna die, or I know, like, nothing feels as impactful like when Taskmaster threw the shield and it caught in the door window. You're like, oh well, that was never gonna hit her because she hasn't died yet. Like, we've seen her death, so nothing is really as impactful as it could have been. And I think that introducing even identically the same characters, her family, her sister, them not being able to say goodbye, we would have felt, oh my gosh, like, you know, Black Widow shouldn't have died because like she didn't have a family and she had like nothing to live for and it was just her by herself. Maybe that scene with her and Clint would have made more sense because like Clint has a family. It's like, well, so does she. Like, she has a sibling and a mom and a dad and people who will miss her and people who she didn't get to say goodbye to also. So maybe knowing that maybe would have made her death more impactful and not like, oh, well, I guess she's dead, you know?
Yeah, I feel different parts of what you guys just said. So I think that definitely the movie would have been totally different if we didn't already see an Endgame. Like, the whole time we were watching it, I was like, there's no risk. There's no There's no way for me to be like, oh, I'm scared that something's going to happen to her, because I know nothing's going to happen to her because she's in movies, more than one after this. So there was nothing for me to like be on the edge of my seat about. The only thing that kind of pushed me through the movie was like, I have to connect with Yelena because I know that Black Widow's not going to be in this movie anymore. I know that she's not going to be part of the MCU anymore because Endgame happened. So I think that's also a reason why people connected with her so much, not only just because she was super likable and she was really funny and energetic, but I'm glad that she got the treatment that she did now, because if this movie had been made in like 2009 to set up Avengers or anything else, she would have got the like Elektra treatment. She would have been like, yeah, she was in Civil War, or she was not Civil War. She was in Iron Man 2. So we're going to make her a movie so that you understand her backstory kind of thing. And I think she would have kind of got a backhanded explanation to her story. So the way that it was told made me feel more for her backstory, and it made me feel more remorse and sadness for her death. Now, I do think it definitely would have benefited the MCU as a whole to have this story told back then, but maybe the end credit scene wouldn't have made sense. Like, everything else would have made sense if it was maybe after Ant-Man or before Ant-Man or whatever. Something in between Civil War and Infinity War, I would have appreciated it probably just the same. I was just not as interested in that because I knew that she wasn't going to go on.
Yeah, oh, no, I mean, 100%. Totally makes sense. I think for me, it was also like the little details, like the way you see Marvel making the connections. So, you know, you are always constantly hearing about, you know, Nat and Clint in Budapest, and you were constantly like, what happened in Budapest? Constantly. So and you never really found out. They were just always kind of making little hints here and there about something that happened. So the way that Marvel kind of threw in, you know, a little bit more details, like, okay, they were stuck in at the train station, like in the air vent, or the fact that you can see Clint's arrow in their little hideout that she points out. So I feel like those had a lot more impact for me, or even just the fact that now you're like, so that's why she was wearing a vest in that movie. Because if you look, she's not wearing a single vest in any of the Avengers movies that she's been in. Or if she is, they do not have pockets. Okay, they are skin tight.
It has so many pockets.
So
many pockets.
I can hold so many.
So I feel like for me, it was the little things like that. However, I do also recognize that there's probably a lot of people who haven't seen those movies in a long time and probably did not get any of those connections. And they were kind of, they see stuff afterwards and they're like, I guess they were talking about Budapest. So I feel like you can kind of get, depending on who's watching, totally different views. And I feel like those little scenes wouldn't have any meaning if it was earlier on.
I totally get that. I think the only critique that I have is that they didn't show any flashbacks of Budapest. They were like, the things that we know about Budapest is that they were in the safe house together. Hawkeye was sent to kill her before she escaped, and that they hid in the train station. And that's all that we know about Budapest. Oh, sorry, Budapest. With a H. So that's the only flaw that I have in this film, is like, you had the opportunity to make I would have watched a 2.5-hour, 3-hour movie about Black Widow if I knew it was going to be her last hurrah. Why not show us a little bit more about her and her backstory? A great point is like, are you excited about Hawkeye? And do you think they're going to go more in depth about his past? And will that include Nat?
Can I go on a weird, like, Disney chaos theory for a moment that is probably totally out there, and I'm probably reading too much into it, 100%. That slightly ties in Loki?
Yes.
Okay. So there's a scene in Loki, in the TVA, where there's this giant screen that shows the list of different Nexus events. And one of the, like, areas or one of the places where there's a Nexus event is Vormir, a.k.a. where Black Widow died. Now, I'm probably going crazy theory on this, and I'm probably, you know, totally out to lunch. But would it surprise me if it was all a Nexus event and they tie that in with the TVA? And maybe it wasn't supposed to be Black Widow that died. Maybe it's supposed to be Clint. And they weren't supposed to have that big fight. And that could be a way that Disney plans on tying in Loki with the multiverse theory and kind of have everything. Because let's be real, we all know Marvel's going to try and tie everything in somehow. So,
100%.
And Disney and Marvel doesn't make mistakes like that. Or they don't just put information like that and not expect fans to go absolutely nuts with crazy theories. So would I love to see them maybe try and explain that more? And that's kind of what goes into Hawkeye's next film, and you know, with his daughter and that. I would be thrilled. I would be all for it. Am I probably also just one of those crazy Marvel theories that's looking at like a random piece of toast and freaking out? Yeah, I probably am too. But that's sort of where my brain goes, is everything is a clue. So maybe she wasn't supposed to die. So maybe she comes back. I don't know.
100%.
Where's my tinfoil hat?
We'll get you one. It's in the mail. I honestly think that Loki is going to fill a lot of gaps or answer a lot of like whys for things. I think so many people are like, it's been going on for so many years. How do they keep it going? How do they make it make sense? Something as simple as like multiverses or different timelines, or, well, that wasn't supposed to happen, so we're going to fix it. Like, I think that that's an easy way for them to take back choices that they made in the past and like go back on them, basically. So like, oh no, she didn't die. We didn't totally screw that up. She's fine. She got pruned and then we'll pull her back. It's okay. So I don't know. I think that that's like an easy fix for them for sure. With regards to the Hawkeye show, I think that it's going to be one of those things where, again, like I don't really care about Clint, and I don't really have any emotional attachment to him. Like I would have preferred that he died at Vormir, to be totally honest. But it's going to be the same thing. If it's anything like the other series that we've been introduced to, they're going to make it so that we care about them. There's no reason for us not to. We just don't know anything about them at this point. I think it's just a huge disservice to two of the main cast of the Avengers to have just never given them any backstory except for like little bits here and there where you're like, I know that you're interesting, but I don't know why.
I mean, I don't think you would have said that when you watched Endgame. Like, you didn't know about anything. Nat even said in like Avengers headquarters, she was like, I have nothing, so this is the only thing that's important to me. And the fact that when they were kind of like fighting and deciding on who was gonna jump off the cliff, when Clint went to go run off the side, I was like, no, what if they get his family back? And I wasn't okay with either choice, but I think that I felt less upset that Nat jumped because I didn't know that she had anything going on.
Really?
If I had seen this movie beforehand, I would have been like, no, her sister. Like, the way that she put, okay, fast forward to the end credit scene, the way that she put her forehead to the tombstone when it was like a mirror of the very beginning when they put their foreheads together at the beginning when they're in the park, or later after the Red Room crashes and they put their foreheads together, she's like, we're both upside down. Now I feel so sad because she had no family for her whole life. Then she had two families and now she's dead. And it just makes me sad, you know?
I'm sorry, as a side note, those two kids need to win some type of freaking Emmy or Oscar.
Aww.
I don't care what, but they need some type of award going on there. I don't care what it is, just get these guys an award. I don't care what. Give them a Funko Pop.
For real, I thought Nat's character was a boy for like the first 10 minutes. I was like, isn't that a
she
boy?
She debated it with me. I was like, that's Natasha. She's like, no, that's a little boy.
That is a boy. I think I've seen him before. Any other thoughts, ladies? What do you think?
I did always ask the question of, does anybody actually know in the world about Natasha's sacrifice in Vormir? Like, what do people know? Do people know that she sacrificed herself? Or do people think, like, that Clint pushed her? Like, that, I feel like that would have a huge impact on the story as well. Because if everyone is under this assumption that, like, Clint pushed her or something happened there, I mean, you can totally see why maybe the Hawkeye story will take a totally different turn than if people know the story and maybe it's not so much that he's the villain, but instead he's the hero. I'm always curious about that as to what exactly do people know. And, like, does Yelena know? Because the end scene, that can make or break everything, right? Because I'm going under the assumption that she was snapped. That's me. I know there's probably tons of theories out there.
I don't think so.
You don't think she was snapped?
No. Let's talk about that a little bit later when we talk
That's just my only other side note when it comes to Hawkeye is, what do people know about what happened? Do they want people to know? Yeah. Because that's going to totally affect what happens later on, I think, in the series.
Yeah, like, what's the consequence and what's the perception of, like, what happened? They were the only two there. The only person there was, what, Red Skull? So,
well, he's not going to explain what happened.
He's
not
going to.
Red Skull
Marvel
ain't no
loves
bitch.
To throw people in there without telling us.
Snitches get stitches, okay? Red Skull ain't no snitch. All right.
No, honestly, I was going to say you're totally correct in that, because I think even just the notion that they were like, okay, well, she died. She died on another planet. She died on another planet getting something called an Infinity
Stone. Maybe in another galaxy. Who knows?
So they could go back in time and fix something that they needed fixing. It's just, how do you explain that to somebody? So yeah, the general public, do they know about her? Do they care about her? Do they care that she's gone? Did they, like, have any notion of what happened? Yeah, like, maybe Clint killed her. I don't know. She just... They were good friends, and then, you know, when you go missing, you check on, it's always the spouse or the best friend, you know? It's like,
sometimes I forget you guys can't see me. I have my hand up. Me, can I go next?
You go.
They live in a world with superheroes. They live in a world with a Spider-Man and an Iron Man and a Scarlet Witch, and they live in a world with an Incredible Hulk, and they have an ice cream called Hulka Hulka Burnin' Fudge, don't they? I'm sure they're like, the Avengers saved us by going back in time. We literally turned into ashes and then came back. I think they're okay. I think if they were told the truth, they would be like, okay, that makes sense. Cause, you know, Doctor Strange exists. So, mirror dimension, whatever.
I mean, there's literally a guy wielding a giant hammer.
A hammer from another world. He's from another fucking planet. Guys. Oh my God. Well,
that's fair.
Those Asgardians. Speaking of family. Family is a big theme in this film. So what are your thoughts on the family dynamic, Alexi and Milena as characters, and the way it was told by Disney?
I have so much to say about family in this.
You do you, girl. You go first.
In this movie. I would first like to point out, I don't know if you noticed, but Alexi has Natasha and Leelena's name tattooed on his arm.
Yes,
so
I saw
when
that
I saw
in
that,
Russian.
I got really excited. Like, in the prison scene, as soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah, no, he cared. He fully cared. Like, I feel like it's a detail that's really easy to miss. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, so he does care. I do think that Yelena had probably one of the most impactful lines of the entire movie when she literally says that it was all real to her. And this is, in my opinion, when you really see her soft side, because she's got this tough, you know, no nonsense attitude the entire movie, where you're like, does this girl even, like, have any emotions? And then all of a sudden, when they talk about her family, she's like a totally different character. And it the way that the actress is able to make that flip, I don't know, there might have been a tear. I can't confirm nor deny. Might have been a tear.
I can't confirm or deny, but I did cry a lot. I cried 10 minutes into this movie. When they played Smells Like Teen Spirit, that cover,
right?
I was cross-legged on the couch, and Joe had walked away for a second, and I was looking at the TV, and I was like, huh. And she was like, oh, baby, are you okay? And I was like, why did they play this song? It's so sad. Why? It was very sad, but it's also like, the only way that Disney could have shown child trafficking. The only way.
Yeah.
This is a movie about child trafficking and taking advantage of women. And like, what was his name? It starts with a D. Dracov? Yeah. Dracov did not see these girls as people. What? Who?
Who said Jerkoff? That's not nice.
Oh my God. He did not see these girls as women. He saw them as tools, as equipment. So the fact that you watch them like watching DuckTales on TV and like tying bows in their hair and then just, it was so heart-wrenching. And when I watched the beginning and they were playing American Pie, it was really upsetting to watch because I know, right? You cried. Did you cry during that time too?
I don't want to talk about it.
I thought about it, but then I cried.
I have emotions too, okay?
when they were playing American Pie and Yelena was like singing, she was like, oh, this is my favorite song. I'm going to sing it. Natasha was horrified because she knows what's happening. She knows that she's leaving her home or the only home that she knew. And the family that she was kind of put with is going to be torn apart because of the Red Room and because of Dracov. So they're driving in down the street and they see the football game and they hear American Pie. And that whole song is just about like feeling nostalgia for what was and how things are going to be different. And it's very upsetting to watch after kind of like reading about it, analyzing it. If you watch it again through, it like really hits you in your stomach and just makes you feel awful. Because Yelena knew nothing else. This is what she knew. She thought that taking pictures all in one day of all of your holidays was the thing that people did. Let's take pictures of Christmas and Easter and whatever else together. It's just very upsetting. I don't know. I think
there's something to be said that she took the book.
Yes. I think so as well. What do you think about that?
I want to like feel good about it and be like, oh yeah, like, you know, they were all put in this really awful circumstance. And even though they were stolen, like these people were their parents and they were the only family they knew. And like, even though they're not biological sisters, you know, they bonded over this horrible experience and things like that. But my gut like turned when they went to like, they got off the plane and they were like, you can't take her. She's only six. And he turns to her and he goes, you were younger than her. Like, you were younger than six when you were, like, recruited by the Red Room. And I was like, that's just the worst. I hate it. Like, I was like, all of these people are doing bad things. And I know we're expected to believe that, like, they had good intentions or they had no other choice or whatever it was. But it really is just child trafficking. And that whole scene at the beginning where they're, like, being pulled from their families and they're screaming and they're in the little like crates and stuff like that. I was honestly expecting when the movie started out like that, it was very dramatic and raw and sad and like real. I expected the rest of the movie to kind of ease its way into that. And then my brain was like, oh, well, it's a Marvel movie. So they're going to try to have it be a Marvel movie. But then I also remember things like in the opposite direction, things like Guardians of the Galaxy, where like that didn't feel like a Marvel movie. It felt like a totally different genre of movie altogether. It felt like something different. Some cast of weird characters with like a raccoon and a tree and a guy. And like that was something we were expected to just get on board with. I feel like if they had made it more of like a serious movie, if they had given it that darker tone, I think I would have liked it even more because it's like, oh yeah, like they were child trafficking victims, but like it's okay because they took Christmas pictures that one time and they love each other and that's family. Like it's so dysfunctional that it just hurts me and I'm trying to get on board and be like, yeah, they love her, but also they took her. I don't know.
But I also think like, how did Melina and Alexi get into this? Like I don't think they did this voluntarily. So who would volunteer to do stuff like this? I'm pretty sure Melina as the Iron Maiden would have been someone who was recruited as well, or like born an orphan or something like that and taken into custody and just kind of like given Stockholm syndrome to be like, this is what is perceived as my life. So I have to follow what I'm being told to do. And same for Alexei. Like, he was, what was it? The Red Guardian. So, like, he is this Captain America of sorts. Do you think that it was, like, noble and amazing for Steve to turn into Captain America? Do you think he was volunteered to do something like that? I don't think so. I think that these people were just, like, forced into this situation and then made to kind of follow along in this plan of the Widow program or whatever else. Like, I think the only person that was kind of happy about it was Alexei, because he was getting all of this, like, glory, and he was Russia's Captain America. So he was like, I'm ready to, like, do what I'm supposed to do. Like, I'm excited. I like being strong. You can tell in the whole movie, he's like, I'm amazing. And look at me. Look. Is that me being Russian or me being German? I can't decide.
Yes.
Both is good.
Yes.
But I think that Melina is like, I'm really smart, and I am trained to do the things that I do because of what they gave me. Not that I chose to do it, but I'm kind of stuck in the same situation. She's just deeper into it. You know what I mean?
I feel like Alexei is one of the people who actually did everything by choice. And the only reason I say that is he's literally got the two girls he's lived with for 3 years, crying, freaking out, no idea what's going on. And what does he tell Dracov? He wants his suit. He's so focused on being back in the spotlight that a part of me doesn't want to say that he was brought into it and he just goes with it. I think he actually enjoyed it because he got all the credit. He had a toy made after him. Like, he doesn't see, and I think it's maybe he doesn't actually see what happens to these girls. He has no idea, but he doesn't care. So, like, when that scene happened, I was like, this guy's a total dick. Like, I love David Harbour. He is one of my favorite actors of all time. But when I'm watching him, all I could think of is I'm ready to punch him in the face. That's, like, yeah, the entire time. And that was all I could think of, you know?
Alex, literally, we were watching it the same thing. And they were going through the whole process where they were adults and they were looking to, like, break him out of prison and all this stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, well, he's still the bad guy. And Alyssa was like, no, he's like their father. He's the good guy. They're going to rescue him. And I said, no. Bucky broke Zemo out of prison. He's also the bad guy, but they needed him. They needed to know where the other bad guy was. So they picked, like, the lesser of two evils, got him out as a means to an end to do something good. And I thought it was kind of the same thing. Like, they broke Alexei out so they could find the jerk off guy, you know? So, like, he's still the bad guy. And they, like, immediately punch him in the face, and they don't hug him or, like,
right?
They don't, like, love him. That's just all they've ever known. And if you'd never had, like, an actual father or an actual mother to, like, show you what a healthy, loving relationship is from your parents, of course you're going to grow up dysfunctional and be like, well, that's family. Family sucks.
What's that like? I have no idea what that's like. Anyways, speaking of Zemo, let's bring Zemo in for a second. Now, friends, you've been here watching us live, twitch.tv/itsyourgirlAlyssa. If you haven't seen the after credit scene from the film, first of all, what the hell are you doing? Second of all, go watch it and come back and listen to the rest of the show. In the after credit scene, we see Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, first seen in the Falcon and Winter Soldier series, approach Yelena at Natasha's grave. Yelena says, "You're not supposed to be bothering me on my holiday time, Valentina." Val shows Yelena an image of a tablet and says, "Maybe you'd like a shot at the person responsible for your sister's death?" Considering she has already recruited John Walker, the U.S. agent, do you think her plans are to assemble her own team, a la Nick Fury and the Avengers, to take down the remaining heroes? Thoughts, ladies? Arcus, please go first. Alex, please go first.
Honey, you can call me whatever you want. I definitely think she's in the process of putting together the anti-heroes. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they're called the Thunderbolts. So I believe, if I could be wrong, the Thunder something. I think it's Thunderbolts. But they're supposed to be, like, the anti-hero Avengers. And my next theory is that Ross, and again, I could be totally getting his name wrong, the guy chasing Natasha at the beginning, I think he's Red Hulk.
Red Hulk. Elaborate.
Yeah. Again, these are all theories, and I could be totally off, and there's probably people who are like, oh my god, she clearly doesn't know her Marvel. But there's just, I don't know, it's kind of the way that Valentina just, I don't know, she's so aloof about everything, right? And there's just the way her attitude presents herself that if she was this subtle or this kind of sneaky, they're not going to be actual heroes, right? I'm sorry, but it's not going to be the Avengers.
No.
And you know she's up to something, and you know she's obviously using trickery against Yelena. I mean, clearly, because she's trying to get Clint killed. Mm-hmm. So there's absolutely no way she's up to doing anything good. So my theory is she's just taking all the anti-heroes, clumping them together, and Thunderbolts. And there you go.
Well, that's a great idea. The Thunderbolts, from what I understand, originally was created by Zemo. Zemo was in charge of kind of bringing them all together. And they were kind of reformed over time and turned into the Dark Avengers. So it's a tongue twister, guys. Say Thunderbolts three times fast. I bet you can't. The Thunderbolts, I think, like Alex said, will reform Yelena. I think Yelena will probably figure out that it's not something good. I think she'll figure out that Val is some kind of bullshit. U.S. agent. I think that Val will somehow find Agatha and maybe recruit Abomination, who we see in the Shang-Chi trailer. So it could potentially be that she's putting together this team that will be under her control, a la Nick Fury, to maybe combat the Avengers and take down the remaining ones that are earthbound. Because I don't think that any of these heroes that we see that she's kind of brought together will be able to defeat people like Thor or Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel can just destroy everybody. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting take. I know that we're going to see Yelena in Hawkeye. She's supposed to be in that, and I'm pretty sure I've seen set photos of her there. So, not to make any spoilers, but I'm pretty sure she's in it.
I mean, you can't spoil something you haven't seen.
Haven't seen it. So if my prediction is so good, then it's a spoiler. Joe, what do you think?
honestly, I had the same thought process. It feels like Nick Fury going around and scooping up heroes, but people who think they're heroes, but they're not actually. The stinky part is that I don't know anything about this because I don't really read the comics. But John Walker is such a crappy character in that, not that he's a bad character, but as a person, his motives aren't good. He's obviously very selfish. He only wants power for himself. But Yelena has all the metrics of being a good character. Again, she was in a position where she was being mind controlled, and now she has been freed of that, and her goals were to free her other widows from that situation. She's obviously being manipulated in this scenario, but I can't imagine Yelena and John Walker being, given the same scenario and both coming out of that scenario with the same perspective on what happened. I just feel she's smart enough to see something like that and be oh, that doesn't make sense. She hasn't lived in a vacuum or in a bubble for however long the movies have been going on. I'm sure she knows to some degree that these are the good guys and these are the bad guys and this is what's happening. And if someone like Captain America was hey, that's the bad version of Captain America, you're on the wrong side, I'd have to believe that she would be oh yeah, these were Natasha's friends. These are people that she spent years trusting, and she called them her second family. I can't imagine them being oh yeah, they're the bad guys all of a sudden, and this knockoff Captain America is the good guy. I don't know. I don't see her fitting into that group very well. And maybe the goal is to try and scoop up these people, and maybe in Hawkeye she'll get turned to like the good side potentially, and then we'll get her back. I don't know. I like her. I don't want her to be a bad guy. Just because you're a bad guy doesn't make you bad guy.
Bad guy. from the ears of Wreck-It Ralph, or from the mouth of Wreck-It Ralph to our ears. I think you're right. I didn't even think of that. But I do think that there could be a scenario where she feels betrayed by the Avengers. Like, they didn't protect her. Like, they sent her alone with Clint, and Clint was originally supposed to kill her. And like how we saw in Budapest, are those bullet holes? No, they're arrow holes, because he was supposed to originally kill her, and then he ended up trying to help free her. I think that also, to address Alex's point earlier, I think that she was not blipped. And the reason why is, in the time between Falcon and Winter Soldier, it was a couple months between the blip and Falcon Winter Soldier. And we don't know when this is taking place. Could be before, could be after, could be right when Nat passes away. She's like, I want a raise. And she's like, don't we all? So I think that potentially her involvement with Val could go back 5 years. Maybe she's manipulated her to a point where she made her believe that the Avengers didn't care about her sister, or something happened in that interim time where she was maybe mind controlled in a different way, because she had that chip in her that Dracoff put in her. Maybe Val figured out a way to put Yelena under her control. I don't know. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's totally that absolutely valid. Makes sense. Yeah.
Oh, I have a question also. I know it's not.
Yeah.
There's no good segue. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I just thought about it. We were talking about how, I mentioned how like Yelena and Nat were both taken from their family. And then Milena makes a point to say that Nat wasn't taken, that she was chosen, that she had some sort of magic genetics and they picked her like for a reason. How did you guys feel about the fact that she was thrown around so aggressively and she's just fine? She didn't have to like go to the hospital. She took an ibuprofen and then she was good. Like, she's got to have some sort of super soldier or something in there.
Maybe.
So I have mixed feelings, because I never know the direction that Marvel goes in, because they're definitely taking some changes, at least from the comics that I read. So, for example, you look at the way they portrayed Taskmaster, and it's this woman who has a chip, and that's why she's able to mimic everything. In the comics, it's a guy and it's a power, and he discovers it when he's watching TV, and he's able to mimic this cowboy episode, and he's able to do the lasso. Like, there's more of a backstory. So I never really know anymore if they're trying to make it like the comics or not. Because in the comics, Black Widow is actually trained by a Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
And is part of the Super Soldier program.
And
because you're absolutely
right.
Yes.
But also, she's married to the Red Guardian, so maybe he does call her daddy. That's not my joke. That's someone else's joke. I just had to say it.
So it's sort of like anything's possible. You never know what direction they're trying to go in. And I mean, there's no way you could take a beating from 20 raging women who are just kicking your ass, I'm sorry, and be absolutely fine and just, you know, sure, you're hobbling up, but you stand up and now you're just going to go jump off a building and be totally fine? Are you really? Like, there's definitely something going on.
She fell literally out of a building and like smashed her face and all of her organs on all of these things. And this lady like just dropped out of a plane and broke her leg. And she's like, do you need help? Can I help you? I should also be dead, but can I help you?
Well, the answer is that she doesn't have a skull. Or bones. That's it. She don't got it.
You know, and it does make me wonder, is that something that Marvel would be willing to, is going to dive deeper into? Because then it would go more into the story of her and the Super Soldier and why she had such a connection with Captain America. You never know. I don't know what direction Marvel wants to go in anymore. And sometimes it's frustrating because I'll be watching and I'll be looking over to Matt and I'm like, all right, I know about Taskmaster. This is going to be great. You're going to love who this is. And then they take the helmet off. And I'm like, well, never mind. I'm just going to sit here like I don't know a single thing. That is not what I expected whatsoever. And as a Marvel fan, I do kind of like it because, you know, when you're watching something and you already know what's going to happen, it's sort of meh. But then at the same time, you think you know something and you're just wrong. It's heartbreaking.
I think that there are good and bad reasons as to why they made Taskmaster, what was her name? Alexandria? Antonia. Antonia, because the original guy's name is Tony for Taskmaster. I think that it just further proves the point that Dracov does not see women as people. He sees them as weapons. He sees them as tools. He sees them as something that he can take advantage of. So when his daughter was not his daughter anymore, when he saw her as something that was damaged, he was like, well, what good is she to me now? I'm going to make her into a super soldier, an even bigger super soldier, because she can flip knives like Bucky, and she can have freaking Black Panther fingers and cloths like tablecloths. No, claws. She uses the shield. She does it all. And I think that the fact that he treated her like a computer or like a something that he could program was just furthering the point that this man is like unlawful and disgusting.
Yeah. I don't know if this is like hot take, Joanne, but like I also wonder if the fact that we have, again, so few female like superheroes with their own main story and it's like their story, she took a beating and all of these things, and they were like, oh, the only time we're gonna show like bruises is like when she like takes off her top and then like near her bra there's bruises so we can look at them, and like other than that there were no scratches on her face, on her chest, like anywhere. It didn't look like she had had anything happen to her. And I know if that had been like Captain America, there would have been like blood coming out of his nose, and like we would have seen like something to indicate that that hurt and that that person was in pain. Even super soldiers, like they get scratched up, they have, you know, the classic like slit in the eyebrow where their skin parted and they're damaged. Like there's always something to indicate that they got hurt and that that was impactful in some way. And it just, I kept looking for it. I was like waiting for a scratch, a bruise, something visible to make them look like ugly or in pain, and I didn't see it. And even the like female character who was like totally burned in the face, we saw it for like a couple minutes on screen when she was revealed. The whole time she was covered, and it was like, oh, we're just all the ugly, if they're ugly and they got damaged, we're gonna like cover them up. And other than that, if they get injured, somehow they have some aggressive superhuman resistance to scratches, because we need all our female characters to always look beautiful. They need to always have their hair done and their like makeup done and them look gorgeous. Like I still think that's a little bit of like the patriarchy coming out in that she's still a female superhero and a female character that we need to be portrayed in Hollywood in a particular way. And I think that whether it was made now or made, you know, in phase two or phase three, I think that's something she would have been hit with as the token like female Avenger, obviously in addition to Scarlet Witch.
Hermione had more bumps and bruises in the last Harry Potter movie than any of the female Marvel characters. I'm sorry.
I totally agree.
But if you even look at Antonia, they show her face, which is supposed to be all burned up and whatnot, for a couple seconds. The rest of the movie, they're actually focused on the other side. They're not really focused on the burn. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be perfectly honest. When I'm watching it, I'm like, she doesn't really look burned. Like, make her look like Deadpool.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Ugly, boiled, gross.
You know, if she's a burn victim, and, you know, at the end of the day, you masking the way a burn victim looks is not really ideal. If you were actually a burn victim, you're looking at yourself like, wow, so this is how I'm supposed to look? Like, it's not, you're absolutely right. The way they portray it, just not loving it. I do like, though, that she fixed her broken nose, and I think that's the most we will ever see, you know, any type of, like, her being damaged. My nose is broken. I'm just gonna adjust it. Get a nose job later.
They had to go back and be like, was it broken? Like, it didn't even look that bad. It wasn't.
They gave her a spaghetti noodle to put in her mouth, and then she went, and it was like, that's it. Special effects. That's how it's done.
I hate that.
Yeah.
We do have a question from one of our listeners. David asks, why was there no funeral for Natasha? So we know that Tony had a huge funeral. It was the Bradley Cooper event of the MCU. Everybody was there, but Natasha got nothing. Alex, what are your thoughts?
So, okay, I have a couple of theories on this. One, nobody actually really knows where her grave is either. And that was done on purpose. So, from what I am understanding, I mean, we know she's in the Midwest, but like her grave is intended to be private. And from what I'm understanding, it's all because of her past and everything she's done. So I think it's safe to say that if she doesn't want people to know where her grave is, she doesn't want people mourning her, right? Or she doesn't want that type of attention. Again, it's really hard to say because you never really freaking know what they're thinking over at Marvel. And I'd hate to say, well, they were a little focused with Iron Man, so... But I feel like Marvel doesn't do stuff on purpose. So I think the whole concept of keeping her grave hidden and not giving her a funeral was done intentionally. And it would most likely be because of her wishes, not because they forgot about her. Because I promise you, Clint would not let that happen. There's no way that he would be okay with something like that. And, you know, the relationship between all, like, the female, you know, heroes in the Avengers, like, there's no way I wouldn't even believe Scarlet Witch would let that happen. Like, I can't believe that they would be okay with not having a funeral unless it was her own wishes. If that kind of makes sense, like, does that make sense? I think it's just what she would have wanted. She did not want the attention.
I would hope that that's the reason, and it's not just because, like, Tony Stark, even before he was Iron Man, was obviously really well-known and had the means and the want to have a big, like, his whole life is a production, like, even how he introduced that he's Iron Man, like, everything was so dramatic and so big, and Nat has always just been, like, I'm happy to be the, like, not the main character for most of it. She's like, yeah, like, you're important, this is about you guys, I'm just here to help, like, I want to make sure everybody else's story gets told. She traditionally was a very private character, so I would assume that as well, that she just, I don't know how old she is, but she wasn't that old, so I don't know if she made, like, a will and things, but yeah, I would assume that she made maybe arrangements for herself to have a private burial and maybe just alert people that she was ridiculously close to for a funeral. I don't know.
She's also lived her life in total anonymity. Mm-hmm. Anonymity. And so she's used to people not knowing who she is. Mm-hmm. And she likes it that way. Mm-hmm. So it also kind of, like, when I saw that her name is on the gravestone, I won't lie, I was actually a little surprised because
really?
And I guess it's just because with her entire life of her always having, you know, she said it herself, she's got like 20 different names that she could choose from. And she's like, well, I've had more in the past. I mean,
Fanny Longbottom.
Fanny Longbottom. Why didn't she put that on her tombstone?
Yeah.
That would have been great.
But it's sort of like, if she's lived this life of anonymity, then why would she want a big funeral, right? That just doesn't seem like her type of character. Mm-hmm. Again, that's just sort of my take on it. I could be totally off base, but.
I hear you. We have a comment from one of our listeners, the infamous Nate from Geekcentric. If you guys love our show, I'm sure you'll love the Geekcentric podcast. Nate says, Natasha changed so much throughout the MCU and went from a sex symbol and sort of flat character to someone with so much more depth. And this movie makes her sacrifice for Clint and his family so much more impactful because she knows how important it is to be with the family she just reconnected with. I think that's a really great way to look at this movie and look at Nat's means to an end, because like I said earlier, I feel more connected to her family because I know what happened. But now I believe that her sacrifice, if I'm going to go back and watch Endgame, her sacrifice means that much more. And her sacrifice for her friend also means astronomically so much more. So that's a really great comment. he does ask a question. Recently, David Harbour mentioned his ideas for a standalone Alexei story with a movie or show exploring his current character after the events of Natasha's death, with flashbacks exploring his glory days. Of all the characters introduced in this movie, which one would you want to see get their own story, and what would that story possibly be? Great question, Nate. Joe, what are your thoughts?
Honestly, I thought about that too, and I think that it'd be really cool if Alexei did get a story, as my brain keeps wanting to say Crimson Dynamo. What is his name?
Red Guardian.
His name is the Red Guardian.
As the Red Guardian, thank you. If he got like a Red Guardian story, and anytime they had to do like flashbacks or he was being dramatic and like telling one of his stories, if it was animated. So a la like Into the Spider-Verse, like that sort of like animation where, you know, anytime he like gets really dramatic and has to tell that part of his story, because like, who knows if any of that really happened? Like, he tells all these tales about how he fought Captain America when he was still frozen in ice, like all of those things. If it's animated, so we never get to know if it's like really canon or not. It's just only told from his perspective.
That would be so cool. Like what if, but it's just David Harbour telling all of these prison stories. It's like, this one time, me and Captain America, we met in the Atlantic Ocean. That'd be so funny.
I'm sorry, as a side note, was anyone else heartbroken at the loss of opportunity for a Stanley cameo when they were arm wrestling? Anyone else would have loved to have Stanley Lee just slide in there, ready to take a... I'm sorry, but I saw that.
R.I.P.
That would have been his cameo.
In the arms of the angels.
That just... That's what came to my attention. I had to point that out. Like,
oh my
I was
gosh. You know who would have made a really good partner to this story that you're, like, making up in your head? What's Ant-Man's friend? Yeah, this one time, the Red Guardian did this one thing, and he did this other thing, and Captain America was like, wow! And then, like, that would be so amazing. And
I would love that so much.
Oh my god. That would be
Listen,
great.
Old. If they can have Deadpool and Korg review movie trailers together, we can
gosh.
Pair those two up.
That would be so incredible. I think those are two of my favorite, like, side characters in all of the MCU. I think if I could pick something, it would probably also either be something comedic, like using David Harbour for what he's good at and like being very extra and doing kind of like a throwback kind of thing, like shorts, like 15-minute shorts of the Red Guardian just doing fucking shit across the world. Or something like, I mean, I just like Yelena so much. If she could have her own show, like have the Black Widow focus that Scarlett deserved, that Natasha deserved, I think that giving her a series would be a great way to add more depth to that character or that mantle, rather than just giving them like films, because I think that's kind of something of the past. Like, this year we got WandaVision, we got Falcon Winter Soldier, we're just finishing Loki tomorrow, very excited about that. We have Hawkeye on the horizon, we have Miss Marvel also in 2021. So taking these 2-hour films or 3-hour films and expanding them to 6, 7, 8 hours is a great way to keep your audience engaged and also just keep them hyped up all throughout the year. No one stopped talking about Marvel. So taking Yelena as a like a spy thriller, comedy, drama series would be so dope. I think that would be so cool. I got really excited for a second there.
It was great. It was warranted.
Wonderful. Any closing thoughts, ladies? I know we're missing two of our favorite dames today, but we want to just thank Arcus, Alex, aka Alex, for joining us. What are your last thoughts, my friend?
Well, I would like to quickly just point out that I would prefer a Taskmaster.
Oh, really?
Story.
I thought you answered. I'm so sorry.
I'll forgive you. No, I'm just kidding.
She got so excited.
I was so excited by Yelena. I was like, she just put it in there and then we'll make a TV show. We'll chop it up. We'll put it on Disney Plus. It'll be great.
It'll be good. I think for me, and I am probably like the only person who thinks that, like, don't get me wrong, the comedy Marvel is great. But all I can think of is, okay, so Taskmaster's basically been a slave her entire life. Now, what is she doing? How does she, like, what direction does she go in? Does she go and is she going to become the villain? Or
you
is
want
she...
an after this movie?
Yeah, her own spinoff. Like, what? Or maybe a TV series. I don't know. But, you know, we could, with flashbacks that show her growing up the way she did and her learning more about her abilities, like something like that. I feel like there's so much potential for that character. And while it might not be comedic, I still think that it would be, there's a lot of potential for a good story.
Guys, let us know your thoughts on the latest installment into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And you can send us an email at hellovideodames@gmail.com. Now, on our next show, we will be dissecting Loki and all of his variants. Stay posted on our shenanigans at hellovideodames on Twitter and Instagram. And if you'd like to catch us recording the show live, follow here, twitch.tv/itsyourgirlalyssa. Das bedanya.